This podcast is brought to you by thewarhq.co.uk, the online shop that's run by Bolt Action Players, for Bolt Action Players, and to celebrate the sponsorship of this podcast, we are giving you a code for 20% off at the shop and post and packaging for free. So use the code POD21, that's POD21. Now, on with the show, and at the end, go to thewarhq.co.uk. Aloha, everybody. This is The War Room, and I'm here with Harrison.
And I'm with Paul.
And we've switched media platform for the time being. We've got into trouble with the advertising on YouTube, even though we don't really advertise, and I have to go and do a little course to learn how to do it properly. So we've switched to audio.
And I think it's just someone go fuck themselves and just do a podcast. But we probably get more views on a podcast as well, more listeners as well than a podcast, to be honest.
So here we are at the War Room. And what are we going to talk about? Is there anything much in the news?
Not really.
No.
Also, we should do a drunk video because I've got an idea for that.
Oh, we're going to do a drunk video coming up, so that'll be worth looking out for. One of the things I'd like to do just now, if that's okay, and it is news, but it's a bit more local, so just a minute if you will persevere with me for a second. One of the long-time members of our club, Dave, sadly passed away this weekend, a much-loved member of the club, and just wanted to kind of pay respects on air, if that's okay. He was well known in circles and he was a lovely guy, so we'll be sad to miss him, and no doubt there'll be a great show from the club at the funeral. So kind of official bye to Dave.
Yeah, bye man. He's a really sound guy.
Yeah.
No complaints.
No complaints.
like he was just a genuine nice guy,
well,
right?
Actually, just as a note, I never ever played Dave. And Dave did play Bolt Action. And we always said, I need to play you, Dave. So wouldn't this be a great time, guys, at the clubs or shops, wherever you play? If there's that guy you've always meant to play, why not have a go at getting it done this week and having that game and having a wee bit more fun?
I remember he did it was a 28mm Fallschirmjäger army.
He did.
But it was like amongst the rubble. I thought that was really cool. Red bricks contrasting. Yeah,
it was a bit of a surprise. He was only at a tournament last weekend.
Yeah, he looks healthy.
He did.
For the average gamer.
Bit of a surprise. But anyway,
which kind of ties in what I like to talk about.
Okay.
Not today. We're going to get
pitched. All right. So moving on swiftly, I've got a couple of things.
New stuff. If you're into Wings of, is it Wings of War?
Blood Red Skies. That's it.
There's a bunch of new stuff. A few new pilots. Hurricanes. Yes, love a hurricane. Mosquitoes.
Love a mosquito.
The next campaign book is Battle for France. Okay.
That was very cruel, Harrison Walker.
It's France, man. I sound like a dick today, don't I? Fallschirmjäger tropical uniforms look pretty sweet.
They do that on the metal. They've got metal figures out.
Yeah.
They look lovely. I think I've got an order in for them already.
They look really nice. And also F4F Wildcat Squadrons. And Black Powder 2 rulebook.
Yeah.
If you're into Black Powder, but meh.
Yeah, it came out a while ago.
Did it? Oh, well.
Yeah, it
did. I just thought, no. So there you go.
So.
What do you want to do first?
Well, I would like to come back to a subject that we've done to death, and I said we wouldn't talk about it again, but I would like to talk about it again because I had a new thought on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that subject is competitions.
Okay,
and
go for it.
And format.
Yeah.
So I got embroiled. My name was brought up on Facebook in a conversation.
How many times this week?
And it was fine. And they were discussing about competitions and how some should be fun. It's the same old stuff. Some people want competitions. And I've rethought, and I think it's partly the fault of TOs.
Okay.
I'm afraid.
Oh.
I'm going to come out. And when you call your event a tournament, some people who are going to that event are going to expect it to be competitive because it's a tournament.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think certain events should be listed as an event. And I think that for some of those events, which are fun events, nothing wrong with them, I would go and play with them, they even might go as far as saying that we are not going to do wins and losses. We're going to have three games, we're not going to record them, and you're just going to have fun. For people that want a fun event, fine.
Yeah, I'd 100% prefer to go to that than a competition.
Yeah,
competition.
And that's fine. And then, so you get those guys who see, at the moment, they're going to a tournament. Now, there's going to be some guys there that are going to win, because that's what some guys are like.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some, as I say, these guys turn up looking for a bit of fun. They're maybe not going to have the best time. Mm-hmm. Now, if we had a distinction between the different sorts of events, maybe more people would find the right event for them.
Yeah.
Yeah? And I think that's down to the TOs. Because at the moment, we call almost every event, even themed events. So, for instance, I'm going down to a Monte Carlo themed event.
Yeah.
It's not really a competition, as I would understand it. It's an event.
Or,
and does it matter if we win or lose?
Do you know what I thought? Okay, here's another one. When we went down to Birmingham, we played Axis versus Allies.
Yeah.
And presumably the Axis or the Allies won. And you could be like, yay, my team won. That would be nice. I'd happily go with something like that. Because
There are a few of those at the moment. That one we went to, that was Infamous Open, which was a fantastic event. I enjoyed it a lot. And they'd had an Access winner and a Allied.
That was good. I really liked the
and it was good fun. But again, I would have said, do we call that an event? Do we call that a tournament?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we call it something in between for that particular event?
Yeah.
And then some events, as I say, are maybe just fun. We say, there's just going to be spot prizes. We're not even going to take track of who wins or loses. You're going to have a good time playing somebody else. And there'll maybe be some sort of theme, you know, if the so-and-so wins their game, they'll get an advantage in the next game just for a bit of fun or something like that.
I think a good way to do that would be campaign books. There's like campaign. Yeah. In each campaign book, there's like a narrative that they've written. I've never played them. Every time the book comes out, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play this. It's going to be great. I'm going to play Sea Lion. They haven't. No one does, do they? That's another one.
Well, not very few. There are one or two people online, like Tabletop something. So they go through the campaign.
Maybe that would be a way of doing it, is saying, all right, round one of the competition is this. And let's say there's six scenarios. Mm-hmm. Each scenario is a different thing. I wonder if logistically that wouldn't work, because in each scenario you might need different sets of units.
You might do, and not everybody has
the money,
access, or the money, or the time to have all the different units. But there's nothing wrong with saying, what for some people have huge collections, say, look, I'll bring my collection, we're going to play games with my stuff, you can bring your own if you want, but I've got enough here to cover it, and we're going to do a campaign. And there are events like that.
Club armies. Should we have club armies?
I think club armies would be a great thing. We're going off topic, but let's carry on. I like the idea of club armies.
I was thinking about shooting clubs in the UK. They are a thing, much to the internet's disbelief. And I was thinking, well, in the UK, you can't just rock up and buy like a rifle or anything. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. So if you join a shooting club, to get a rifle, you really need to be in a club.
Yeah.
But presumably, you join the club, and then you've not got a rifle, and they're like, oh, well, we don't know if you're serious or not.
Yeah, you can rent. Presumably, you can rent weapons.
Do you think they rent weapons? I was thinking, maybe clubs should have maybe they should have weapons.
There's a few folk I'd like to shoot.
But no, maybe clubs should have armies for people to come along. But doesn't this workshop kind of have that? Like, if you go into a shop, do they not have...
Yeah,
like,
they have demonstration games and things.
Yeah, the staff have...
I mean, I don't know that all clubs have enough players. And usually if somebody says, I want to play, somebody will say, I'll bring an army along for you to have a go with. But club armies would be a good thing.
Mm. If someone asked, I've only got one painted army on me. But I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, and I think it would be good to see, certainly from a Bolt Action, but from other games as well, more clubs against clubs for a fun night. Where we could have, you know, we could maybe go and play Falkirk, and somebody would play Ticket to Ride, somebody would do Bolt Action, somebody would do 40K, and just have a wee bit more communication between clubs sometimes. We all seem to be our own little island, and it's easy for us to say because we've got quite a large club.
Yeah, so. It's like I seem to do a lot of saying like, oh, no one plays this, no one plays that, and that's because I just don't see anyone at our club or the clubs we go to play it. So people very well might play Blood Red Skies and the Japanese game, was it Test of Honor?
Test of Honor.
I just don't see anyone playing them, so I think, oh, no one plays it.
I think it depends. A lot depends where you are, and you know, there's investing in a game. You want to buy a game where you can get a game with somebody else, or you want a game which is really easy to teach somebody in 10 minutes.
That's why I am. That's why 15 Noble Action. Come on, guys.
Which is where tabletop games day is a good idea. But why not have War Games Games Day, where you can go and test out lots of different games?
Is it learning rules is actually a pain. Once you learn it, it can be great.
Yeah, I've just played a few games of Lord of the Rings. I've played 3 games now, and I'm just starting to pick it up. But it's not bolt action, lads. Just in case you're getting worried about my sanity. It's not bolt action. But
yeah, it's like, oh, it'd be cool to do this, it'd be cool to do that. But if no one else plays it...
Anyway, so, TOs... Have a think about whether you should maybe label up your events in a better way to attract the right sort of people you're looking for, and to maybe make sure that people have a great day, a better day out, if possible, would be just a thought for throwing out there. Right, flog that one to death.
Well, it's 15 mil. So, again, I'm back on the 15 mil.
So, we're talking bolt action and 15 mil.
So, yeah. I don't like Flames of War. It's... I don't know if I'm just... I've heard the new edition's really boring. And the old edition, it was not tricky to get games. But the people
the point is, nobody read the rule book. Because it's... Well, that's not true. Yeah. We didn't read the rule book because it was too big.
Yeah.
But the books...
The books, the expansion books, were amazing because
they're just full of history.
It's great, and I assume it's all quite accurate. I don't actually know, but I think it's quite accurate.
It looks accurate.
No reason to not believe it, but they give you like, okay, this is a mortar platoon on D-Day, this is a tank platoon on D-Day, this is a... And then each book is a different thing, which I love because it says you can take company HQ... You need to have 2 platoons, and then you have another 4 platoons. But then you've got the support platoons. And then you're like divisional support platoons.
I wish you could see the hand actions here. It's like having an Italian.
It's great. I like it. And it's just because it feels more accurate. I'm like, oh, this is sweet.
And the book's great, and it works in 15mm because the books are talking about larger forces than we're talking about in bolt action.
Yeah.
I mean, bolt action is supposed to be a platoon based game, but it's a bit smaller than that, really, I think.
Platoon's about, at least in the British Army, it's HQ and then 3 sections.
Well,
plus any attachments. Yeah. So it's bigger than platoon.
So, okay, so smaller than company. Company for.
Yeah. So you usually pay about 2 platoons if you're at 1,000 points, 1250. So it's in between.
Yeah.
Because a company is what Flames is supposed to be, which is 2 platoons and a HQ. Well, 3 platoons and a HQ. Depends how you organise it. Also depends what nation you play, because every country and every armed force organises itself differently.
But nobody does it like the British do.
Also, armed forces. It's never easy. It's never Army, Air Force, Navy, is it? Some countries are like... Well, now the Coast Guard aren't on force, and so are the Marines. The Marines aren't in the Navy. Or some people have the Marines in the Army, and you're like, what? Or you're the French, and you have parachutist Marines.
Or you're just French, like, full stop.
Like, I think the Legion was separate, and then they were reorganized into the Army. So at one point, they had Army, Navy, Air Force, Legion. And it's... Can everyone not just have an Army, an Air Force, and a Navy? And also, okay, Space Corps... Or is it the
Space Corps?
Alright, so Trump's Space Corps thing gets a lot of shit, right? However, don't we kind of already do that? Isn't there like a space agency for the US Air Force and like a space agency?
No, they've got NASA as the...
No, but like they have like space people as well.
Alright, okay.
And like if you think about it, satellites are really important, so we should protect them, right? Like our Navy defends our shipping lanes. The GPS is really important, so maybe we should protect our satellites. as well? Because isn't that the job of the armed forces, to defend our assets? I don't know.
Defend our asses.
I don't know. Space Corps, or whatever that's called, the Space Force, seems to get a lot of shit, but it seems quite smart in
so,
my head.
The question that crops up, is Donald Trump the Emperor?
Oh no.
Sacrifice. Maybe that's where it comes from.
Sacrifice 1,000 Mexicans every day to keep his chair going.
Oh dear, things do fall apart on a podcast, don't they?
See how YouTube would not give a damn about that. But see if we advertise. Nah, that's then they got a problem.
That's alright. So, anything about 50 mil, you put together a game the other night with Graham.
Mm. It worked out pretty well.
He did. He said it made his head hurt at times.
Did it?
But he said you had some good ideas which look like a winner, I think was what he said. So yes. How did you integrate bolt action and Flames of War? I think you're just starting to play about with this at the moment.
Yeah, I took what I like about bolt action and the Force Org from Flames of War and kind of put it together. This definitely does not work perfectly.
Yet.
And it is borderline, I guess, to the point where it's like, should this be its own game? Because it's... The way we play it, so with tank platoons, you take the highest level of pins for whatever damage. If you're playing a platoon... if you're playing mixed tank platoons... So tank platoons work as... Imagine that they work as infantry platoons.
Yeah.
But when they...
So you've got several tanks in a platoon, and each platoon... No, each tank has a dice though, don't they?
No.
You have one order dice, but each tank throws their dice like normal. So for a platoon, you're throwing four or five dice for tanks instead of one.
That works really well if you've got three Shermans against three Shermans.
Yeah.
When you've got a Firefly and two Shermans versus two Panzerfors and a Stug, not quite perfect. Because they'll have different sizes of guns and different armors and stuff. Not perfect. So the way I've played it is, you say this dice is the Firefly, these two dice are the sort of regular pleb Shermans. Mm. Roll these two dice, and I say one hits, I'll give it to the person, to my opponent, and say, where do you want to put that dice? And he'll go, I'm going to put that on the Stug instead of the Panzer IV. And I go, perfect, Amundo. I roll the Firefly hits, say, where do you want to put the Firefly shot? He'll go, I think I'll put that on a Panzer IV. So he puts it on a Panzer IV, and then you do it so like that. So if you roll for each gun, an easy way to do that would be different coloured dice.
Yeah.
But I just said, okay, well, these three are for the normal ones, this next one's for the one. And then he allocated where the damage would go. Yeah. That makes... That kind of adds, not mechanic, but adds another level of thought where you have to go, alright, well, I'm going to put the Firefly on the King Tiger, because if the Firefly is going to bounce off anything, it's going to be the King Tiger.
Mm.
But I don't want that taking a hit and dying because it's a Firefly, so I might put the Firefly hit on the Panzer II, because it'll definitely explode, but my King Tiger is definitely going to be okay.
Yeah,
so it adds a level of thought as well.
For the defender as well as the attacker.
Yes.
I kind of like that idea, actually, oddly. Mm-hmm.
Because you can also mount hits and say, alright, I'm going to put all my hits on the King Tiger.
Mm.
So only one tank's going to die. But you might lose the King Tiger.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Mm. So how does... Did you play with infantry against Grimm?
I did, yes. I had a platoon of British late war infantry.
Mm.
And he had machine guns. But I think his rate of fire is a bit of a problem. Because in bolt action, you'll buy a squad or a section. I don't know what section, British way. You buy a section of men and you'll buy them a Bren gun and then one guy will become loader. Because Flames of War is on a bigger scale, it doesn't work that way. You buy a platoon which has rifle MG teams or rifle teams in it or machine gun teams.
Mm.
So rate of fire doesn't work out perfectly. So my thinking is, I'm just going to say, you get the rate of fire from Flames of War for infantry and machine guns. So medium machine guns are three dice. Light machine guns aren't light machine guns. They're rifle machine gun teams. Rifle teams are rifle teams. Some machine guns, I think, in Flames of War get three dice. And that seems a bit... However, in Flames of War, you probably get a lot less machine gun platoons than you do in bolt action. I think submachine gun platoons, people like whole platoons kit out submachine guns, probably going to be Russians in a limited number, like Russians or commandos.
Mm.
You're not going to get whole platoons of Germans with submachine guns, I'm very skeptical.
I mean, even commandos, you're not going to get like 100 commandos with really used for raids.
Yeah.
I mean, when they landed in Dieppe and that, most of them would have had rifles with officers, maybe with submachine guns.
So that might not be a problem, having the submachine gun rate of fire of 3, because there won't be as many rocking about. Because there weren't that many submachine guns rocking about, I don't think.
Well, generally speaking, there would be some exceptions. As you say, there's Russians kitted out platoons just with subs.
Yes, that's another interesting thing we talk about, is the whole Russian doctrine. It's just odd.
Well, not really, it's more a case of we've got loads of guys, just walk forward, and if any of you survive, we'll give you a rifle.
But yeah, 50 mobile action, it's good. Also, another thing that I'm kind of torn on is in bolt action, you've got one scale of veterancy.
Mm-hmm.
In Flames of War, you've got 2 scales of veterancy.
Oh yeah, you were explaining this to me the other night.
Yes. The best way to describe it to a bolt action player is you've got your veterancy level, so your conscript, regular, veteran, but you've also got like a morale scale of like, it's not called coward in the top of my head, but it's like coward, confident, fearless.
Yeah. So you can have like fearless.
Yeah.
Conscripts.
Yeah. So you can have fearless conscripts.
And you can have cowardly veterans.
Cowardly veterans. The 8th Army on D-Day, I think, are cowardly veterans.
Oh.
Because they didn't want to die because they were.
They'd already had a lot of experience.
Yes, from Africa and Italy. They knew what they were doing and they didn't want to die. So they're very cautious, but they're very good. And I could turn that into morale techs are done on the morale chart and the death things are done on the veterancy chart.
Mm-hmm.
So your fearless commandos are like normal vets, but I've just suddenly got that.
Yes, that would be. Oh, that sounds good.
Although you could cheese that and take a fearless conscripted tank platoon because tanks don't die like infantry die. It would be the
they
only.
They burn.
Yeah, so you could cheese it. However, if you were a conscript, fearless conscript, you still take the -1 for being a conscript, wouldn't you? So that balances that out not too shabbily.
It is.
Hmm.
So you're going to get a few games and you think you're going to play Douglas this weekend?
Yeah, I am. I was going
to
build on a 15
mil. Club. Sorry, we're away this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I better message people about this. And I've got to look up buses as well to get to work.
Anyway.
Fun. So yes, that's what I was saying about 15 mil, and I think I can get this going.
I think Graham certainly thought it had a lot of legs. So
yeah, so I'm gonna try and write up something official, so it's not just me turning up going, all right, Douglas, here's how I intend on playing this, and him going, yeah, cool.
Which Douglas would, to be honest.
Yeah, great guy. But yeah, I'm gonna write something up. Because it's quite a lot of people with 15 mil at club. It's just, I don't think many of them actually play with it.
No, it's kind of gone out of
Team Yankee is kind of where it's at.
It is, but Team Yankee just ends up like looks, a big parking lot. It just looks odd when you see all these tanks parked in a square.
It's still that the models look bad.
Millimetres away like, from each other.
1980s is really cool. You got DPM, your FALs, your weird East German helmets, which kind of look like, I don't know, they're just weird. But they look cool. But then they all just kind of sit and roll dice at each other.
Yeah, but what gets me is how they're all. You've got about 20 tanks and they're all parked literally millimetres.
That's another thing I was thinking about. There is a lot of tanks in a very small amount of area. You play 15 mil.
Mm.
If you play a tank platoon, there's a lot of dice and a lot of stuff in a very small area. So maybe you should play it 4x2 or 8x2?
8x2 is what
you mean. You have a longer thing, but then you're also that guy at the club who's like, no, I need double amount of room, please. Which I don't want to do. But if you get competition and say, because we play about 5 dice, so you still get a lot more, you do a lot more. Does that make sense? Or you do the same amount a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So maybe you could double the amount of turns, or you could have 10 dice armies and take 2 companies.
Yeah.
Which could be interesting, but things need to think
it's just
about.
A bit of experimental. So, moving on swiftly, this weekend we're away off to Arnhem. It's Arnhem anniversary weekend for the Market Garden drops. And, Well, I suppose it wasn't just parachute drops, but that's what it's famous for. But there was 30 call.
No? It's actually amazing.
Was it A Bridge Too Far?
It was. That was an awesome film.
I like the bit where I think German comes across the bridge.
Yeah,
the
white flag. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, lads, we can't accept your surrender.
Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah, I like that bit.
What was it? We're not in a position to accept your surrender, old chap.
It's also like I like the scenes like, do you know there's the house and it overlooks the bridge?
Yeah,
I really like those scenes because that's from the Flames of War book, and I was like, oh, I remember seeing that book. And it's them, like, all the Germans trying to get over the bridge, and the British just kind of hiding out in the building.
It is good. So we're away off there this weekend. We'll be taking part in celebrations, and with Chris Brown, the author of the Market Garden campaign book, we're going across with him, so we're going to have big, huge games. And on the Sunday night, we are going to have what we believe is the biggest game of bolt action in the world. And by biggest, I mean the most participants in one game.
How many is it?
Potentially it's 36. I think it will be less than that. But even at 20-odd,
that's going to
playing
be
one game.
Logistical nightmare. But
we're up for that. So with a bit of luck, it'll be a bit of fun. Hopefully it'll be the biggest game in the world. Unless, of course, you know different. And with a famous lager ad, probably. So that should be fun. So we're bringing you news. I'm going to do a fair bit of live Facebook casts because I don't have enough room on this phone to store loads of videos, and it's a good way to get them up and live. So we're bringing hopefully lots of live videos, as long as I remember to switch the video on.
But are you going to sort out YouTube, or someone will stuff themselves, or are we going to do a podcast now?
We are going to sort out YouTube, but we can move more into the podcast if you wish to. Why don't people tell us? Do they prefer the podcast, or do they prefer YouTube?
I'd rather stay on YouTube, but If
I'm planning to do YouTube, and
if they told me to do a lecture, I'd go tell them to stuff themselves and I'd just do a podcast.
Oh, it's not like it's like a half hour course or something daft, I don't know. Anyway.
Some shit. But is there a way can you just like put it in the background and let it play?
Put what play?
Like the course. Is it a course? Do they test you?
Well, it's one of these things you do and they just answer questions, yes, no. I mean, it's not terribly onerous. Anyway. What else do we have to talk about on this episode?
That's about it, I think. Or unless you've got something else you want to talk about?
I think that's about it for just now. We've waffled on for nearly half an hour now. So let us know what you think, guys. I shall put this up tomorrow night, which will be Wednesday. And I'm flying off to Arnhem. We need to get...
What day are you flying off?
Flying off tomorrow.
Okay.
Flying off tomorrow, we'll be going out to Arnhem on... We stay the night in Amsterdam, then off to Arnhem on the Thursday to get everything set up for everybody arriving on the Friday. And then back home on the Monday. So, lots of news. And we'll bring you all that later. So, for now, goodbye from me. And goodbye from...
Harrison.
I sprung that on him.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the next show, guys. Mahalo for now.
Bye.
So, you listened to the show. Now it's time to visit thewarhq.co.uk for all your bolt action needs. And remember to use the code POD21, that's POD21, to get 20% off and free postage and packaging. See you in the next show.